Stephen Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to start the show today. But, Mahoney, before we get going, I want to point out how streaky we are as a morning show, right? Like, when you decided that it was the summer of Bahama, you wore Tommy Bahama shirts for 9 months or whatever it was. We have not seen Sylvia without a hat on in all of 2019.
Huh.
Well, Dave, I don't know why we get on these clothes trends, but I think we're simple folk. We can't use any extra brain power when it comes to putting on clothes in the morning. I do appreciate guys like Steve Jobs or Mark Zuckerberg, who wear literally almost the same exact thing every day.
But it's so easy because you know what you're going to wear. Like, I don't have to do my hair. You're comfy in your tracksuits or your Bahama shirts. It's just easier.
I did used to wear, we were talking about phases we went through yesterday in our life, and I didn't bring this up during the show, but my junior and senior year of high school, I did not wear a single pair of jeans. I wore nothing but slacks and Dockers, pretty much Dockers, entire years.
You were fancy?
Dockers and a polo. Pretty much.
Were you auditioning to be a State Farm insurance agent? Why?
I think this was before State Farm incorporated that look. They weren't quite so business cash back in the late 90s.
See, yeah.
Were you just trying to make a good impression?
I don't know. I just felt like for some reason I just didn't like jeans.
I don't know. Like
for
some
whatever
chick he
reason.
Likes?
She's like, I like a man that dresses in khakis.
Like, I got you, boo.
No, said literally no chick ever.
You don't even know how good khakis have gotten so far. Like, I wish I could go back. I wish I didn't look like a fat ass and fat ass Dockers, because they have the extendable waist, which is an awesome thing, first and foremost. They have the extendable button, which help you button them up now. And they're basically stain and waterproof. Like, you spill anything on there.
The extendable. Like, can you just admit that you've gone up a couple of pant sizes?
Nah,
like, why do you buy, like, you're like, I'm buying 34s, but it's got six extra buttons. It's like, just buy 38s, man. It's fine.
He doesn't want to do that.
Dockers doesn't fat shame you like my Levi's do and put the waist on there.
No.
But I will say, right, the khaki technology in 2019. It's phenomenal.
Has really
are we
going to
have? Are
it
we
really
going to see
has.
Mahoney in khaki?
Yeah, when they fire me and I start working at Best Buy.
Got it.
That's you will see that.
All right. So some good news and some bad news to start the show today. What do you want?
Well,
first?
We've already heard the good news about the khakis, Dave. So I think we have to
khakis,
go.
Yeah.
We have to go to the bad news.
All right. Well, the bad news is this is over in the UK. A woman was having some issues with her eyes. She had dry eyes, and so she went to go get some cream for her eye, and experts say that doctors must use block capital letters when writing prescriptions, but as everyone knows, doctors have bad handwriting, and so, easy mistake, I'm sure, the doctor wrote her a prescription, and when she took it into the pharmacy, they read it not as dry eye cream, but as erectile dysfunction cream for her eye. And so she had boner eyes.
So ED, not DE? That's what we're talking about? Also,
I don't know, man.
Why would it be a cream? If I have dry eyes, shouldn't it be like a drop? Like, I don't want to rub any sort of cream in my eye.
Can you imagine if it was drops, but it was for ED? If you had just had drops, you're like, bloop, boing.
Is that how that works?
She put these drops in her eye, though?
So,
or this cream in her eye, and she's like, my eye is really aroused right now.
She had blurred vision, a swollen eyelid, and redness, discomfort immediately after putting the cream into her eye.
Is that how you flip your eyelids inside out?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Flip them off. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Why did we do that when we were
Why
young?
Are my eyeballs protruding so much?
So aroused.
Got some good news today.
Let's hear the good news.
A 13-year-old boy who stayed awake to watch Netflix, even though his mom told him to go to sleep, ended up saving her life.
How so?
Take that, mom. Well, she was sleeping, and the dad was at work, and he was supposed to be sleeping as well. Turns out a fire broke out in their mobile home in Delaware. It was about 1 a.m., so, you know, everyone's sound asleep. And breaker box was putting too much outside power, causing a spark in the outlet. And she said that her son responded quickly, called 911 while she rushed to get on clothes and shoes, because first thing he did when he started smelling smoke and seeing flames is ran and woke up his mom. The family has been displaced by the fire, but the Red Cross gave them some money for a hotel room. And the woman wrote on Facebook that it saved her life and likely her whole family's life.
Are we sure he didn't cause this breaker spark? Because if he wasn't up running Netflix and the television, you know, putting strain on that. I mean, probably not.
So you're going to shame the 13-year-old boy who's a hero?
Well, I mean, depends on what he was watching on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. if he stayed awake to watch Friends reruns.
Oh, no. You are going straight to the orphanage.
Yep.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I feel like Netflix as a 13-year-old is a wild... There's so much inappropriate stuff on there, though, right?
Totally.
Yeah. I understand why his mom told him to go to bed.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, Mom.
That's what he was like, Sylvia?
Yeah.
No, Mom?
Yeah, no.
No, Mom.
No, Mom.
Okay. No.
Mom.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, you know what I think will be the future of currency? Data storage. You're a liar if you tell me that the majority of people in the world are not dealing with the storage almost full.
Message deleted.
I think you're wrong. I think that's
you do?
Really dumb idea that the future currency is going to be data storage.
I mean, it kind of already is.
How is that a currency?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the richest companies in the world, Amazon, basically makes all of their money from data storage.
Yeah, no, I understand that they make money from data storage, but how is data storage used as a currency?
Oh, it's not used as a currency, but I think what he's saying is that it could be. Like, have you ever had, I don't imagine, because your phone's relatively new now, but have you ever been in the situation, because I have, where you're trying to take a picture with your phone and it's like iPhone full or phone cannot store any more pictures?
Sylvia has that problem. Through,
yeah, I have that problem.
Yeah. Because you have that problem right now, right?
She has the 16 gig iPhone?
32?
Or 32. Oh, well, sorry.
Well. No, she has that problem right now where you know, you're trying to take pictures, and that's very, very frustrating. If somebody walked up to you, Sylvia, and said, if you give me $20 right now, I'll give you an extra gig of storage.
I basically do that already because I buy storage.
See? Currency.
I don't think that's not how currency works. And yes, I think data storage is the thing of the future for sure. You know, and it already is here because, you know, like they have at CES right now, they have a 4 terabyte USB little dongle like that you can keep in your pocket. 4 terabyte. That's the size of the thing that unlocks your car.
It may be small, but it's powerful, Mahoney.
Mm-hmm. You're telling yourself that, Dave.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I hate when you go for a handshake, and then the person you want to shake with immediately goes for a hand bump, and then you've got like 4 seconds, 4 grueling seconds of awkward hand movements. So my question is, do you acknowledge the awkwardness, or do you just act like it never happened?
Message deleted.
I think you grab the fist and you just shake it like they have a club hand.
I feel like that.
Which is funny.
It depends on how awkward it is. You know, I mean, if you acknowledge it, if it's really awkward, if it's not like super awkward, then you just go about your day. But like if you're like going for the fist bump, he's going for the handshake, then you both switch at the same time. And then you both have like the switching thing going
on. Just like lock fingers at that point.
And it looks like you're playing like a game of paper, rock, scissor, but everybody's premature. You know, it's just not a good look.
That happened to you a lot?
Why do you ask?
No reason.
Why do you ask?
Please leave a message after the tone.
I need to know the truth here. Do you guys
occasionally check your horoscope. Like, I know everybody does. Like, we just can't help it, right? It's 2019. We're all totally self-absorbed, and we can't not check them. Like, they're about us. We love ourselves.
Message deleted.
What are you talking about?
I haven't checked my horoscope in forever.
If you believe horoscopes, I'm sorry. I can't take you seriously. I just can't.
You read them for fun.
If I would know, here's the thing.
I don't know.
It's just made up garbage.
It is. That's the fun part.
It's some crappy writer who couldn't get a job doing anything else. That's who write horoscopes. Like L. Ron Hubbard. You know, he was a failed science fiction writer, so he created a religion. That's how these things work.
It worked out.
Tom Cruise there.
Kind of. Tom Cruise jumping on couches.
There you go.
You know, that's the definition of success?
John Travolta. Yeah.
Well.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Woo! Where's the official David Mahoney pre-show block party going to be at, guys?
Message deleted.
The Dave Mahoney pre-show block party? I don't think we're going to...
Like
am I missing something?
In the morning?
It's too early. Like, yeah. All right, everybody meet at the park at 5.
Just be us and the homeless people. Boy.
Anyone want to do a keg stand? Oh, you do? Oh.
We haven't seen it pick you up.
Oh, you just, you have a dirty mouth.
Gross.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's too early to drink.
So we're not going to do it?
Yeah. None of us want to wake up any earlier.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Never.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So the big story over these past couple of days is that, you know, the government shutdown is starting to affect things that we actually care about, like money, mm-hmm. tax returns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beer,
wine.
Yep. Because the agency that's in charge of approving specifically the spring batches of a lot of craft beers and wines is not working right now. And so as a result, that's all going to get backlogged. And so if you look forward to, say, a spring seasonal from your favorite brewery, that may not be the case because the government shut down. But the other big thing, of course, is travel, because the TSA, a lot of TSA agents are coming down with the blue flu, as they call it, because they don't feel like going to work when they're not getting paid for it, understandably
so. Most people, I would say, if you're not getting paid, I mean, they will get paid eventually, but after you miss your first check, that's when it becomes real.
Yeah.
And they've missed their first check.
It makes the motivation for going to work significantly less.
Yeah.
And so yesterday I had to jump on a flight, and so I had to go through McCarran, and I was like, oh, man, because my flight was at 11:07 a.m., and the show ends at 10 in the morning, and I was like, oh, boy. This is going to be a doozy trying to make it over there and get through this, what I perceive to be a really long line. And I got there and I breezed right through. I will totally take back what I said yesterday, at least as far as how the airport was functioning yesterday when I went through. It was great. So big tip of the cap to all of the TSA agents in Las Vegas that do show up for work. Thank you for being there, because it was totally easy. And I mean, obviously, the TSA and just the airport in general here in Las Vegas is considerably better than a lot of other places around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't surprise me that our airport was working well. I was just surprised, considering all of the stories that we've heard and all the pictures that we've seen of airports backed up around the country, just how well it was functioning yesterday.
Like I said, cheers to Las Vegas, because we do it right.
Mm-hmm.
We do it right, Dave.
You don't call in sick.
I mean, I'm probably going to call in sick sometime this week.
Yeah, we can't work a full week. What are you thinking? Jeez.
Are you already coming down with something?
A little bit of a cough.
Oh, no.
Going on.
We haven't done that since November.
I know.
So the worst measles outbreak in decades is sweeping New York, as cases surge in other states as well, like Oregon and Washington, also abroad. So case of measles have reached a 20-year high in several New York counties amid an outbreak that threatens to reach epidemic proportions. They're saying at least 160 people have been infected by the virus, typically strikes children in New York, and unusual outbreaks have been reported internationally as well. Meanwhile, 25 other states have reported outbreaks, with numbers climbing particularly high in Oregon and Washington. Among other countries, Israel has seen a recent resurgence in measles. In October, the sudden uptick in cases in New York City was linked to an unvaccinated traveler from Israel.
Yay!
Thanks.
All you dumb anti-vaxxers, every single piece of medical evidence ever points to vaccinations being safe and necessary so we don't have things like measles making a comeback.
Yeah, like
when we beat something like 80 years ago.
Like measles should not be a thing.
Measles,
in 2019.
Mumps, and rubella should not exist in 2019. And the thing that aggravates me the most about this is because these people just, they're like ostriches. They just stick their head in the sand. They don't want to believe facts when it comes to this. And they want to believe their messiah, Jenny McCarthy, is that Jenny McCarthy still is on television. Like, like why can't the heads of television just come together and, like, get this clown off? She's on that stupid new show, The Masked Singer. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
I've seen previews of it.
I haven't seen
the actual
show.
And why is she qualified to judge a singing competition? You don't believe in vaccinations. You shouldn't be judging anything.
Much less singers.
I hate Jenny McCarthy so much.
What was that one MTV show she was in?
Singled Out.
Did you like her then?
No, I didn't. I thought Chris Hardwick.
She was annoying then, too.
Yeah, Chris Hardwick was the star of that show.
So there is a list out. U.S. News and World Report put out their annual list of the best-paying jobs in America. But there is only one six-figure job that has the below-average level of stress and good work-life balance, they say.
Really?
And that is being an orthodontist.
An orthodontist?
Yep.
Is that somebody?
They put, like, braces on you.
It's braces.
Yeah. Because they don't have to handle medical emergencies, and they have flexibility with their hours, so it's possible to make good money. But
are you
still
sure
have...
they don't have to handle medical emergencies, Dave? Because this could be like one of those, if you start bagging on a dermatologist, and then people are dealing with skin cancer. You know, you call a dermatologist a zit doctor, they get offended. They do.
Who calls them zit doctors?
I mean, that was
a
thing.
You call them a zit doctor?
I mean, that's pretty common. What? That's not me.
Why would you say that about dermatologists?
I'm not saying.
That's really hurtful. They deal with much more than acne. How dare you marginalize?
Well,
you're
marginalizing orthodontists right now.
I'm not marginalizing orthodontists. I'm just reading braces. It's the U.S. News and World Report. I'm just saying that they have low stress compared to a lot of other jobs because they're not dealing with medical emergencies
where
on a regular basis.
Where do they rank on that as far as like the money?
It all depends on the orthodontist, right? So, I mean, they say that anesthesiologist is the number one best paying job at $208,000 is the median salary. Surgeons is the number two best paying job, but obviously also $208,000 median salary there. So they're talking about median salary. Orthodontists come in at number five in the best paying jobs, and they also median salary of over $200,000. But because that's the one where you're not, you know, dealing with people bleeding all over the place or actual life and death situations, that's the only one in the top five.
See, again, here you are, Dave, again, marginalizing orthodontists, basically calling him the zit doctors of the mouth world.
Call dermatologists zit doctors. That's you.
That's not
because
me.
Because you're insensitive.
No,
and you never made anything.
I had acne. I had to go to a dermatologist. They were the real MVP for me in high school, and also the reason I'm now addicted to lip balm. Also, so
really,
oh yeah, because they gave me Accutane, which I don't know if you know about.
Oh, that stuff doesn't that stuff make you crazy?
Allegedly, they don't.
It makes you crazy.
If you're a pregnant woman, you can't go anywhere near that.
We haven't seen any single cases of that.
Mm-hmm.
Except for when Mahoney had it all over his back because it wasn't really the acne; it was the back knee that was the big problem,
he
would just dip himself into a big vat of that garbage. And next thing you know, we have a radio show! Yay!
It's actually a pill, Dave. It's a pill.
It's a big yellow pill.
I'll have you know. Thank you very much. It was a traumatic time in my life. I had to wear a shirt in the pool.
You'd be like, Kenny.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
And I was skinny back then, too, man.
Yeah, why is that guy wearing a shirt in the pool? He's not fat.
He's 6'5" and he weighs 150 pounds. What's going on here?
Although, I do
why
like the fat guy that
wearing
wears
a shirt.
I do like the fat guy that wears the shirt in the pool as if, like, you're going to trick people.
Thin with that shirt on.
No. Oh, wow. The one that's up better than that is our friend who has a hairpiece.
Who will always wear a hat.
No.
Yeah. Like, hey, man.
What's going on?
Why are you wearing a hat while you're swimming?
Why don't you go underwater?
Oh.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present Jim the Birdman's Tales from the Bird's Nest.
Jim the Birdman is one of our favorite people around here at the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. He was originally introduced to us because he was standing on a street corner surrounded by pigeons, and Ian approached him and started a conversation, and turns out he has a real love for pigeons. It's not just something that he puts on. In fact, that consumes a lot of his hours in his day, is caring for all of his lovely pigeons. So, you know, in 2019, he has got a, maybe it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know if he's accurate with his assessment of what's going on with pigeons here in Las Vegas, but that is what part of this is about. And then the other part, Mahoney, is just about his hopes and dreams for 2019, and we find out a little bit about Jim's background in art.
Yeah, he's a real true Renaissance man. Ian, if you had to estimate how many pigeons are in Jim's flock?
Ooh, I would give it at least 100 pigeons.
100 pigeons?
I would say at least 100 pigeons, but constantly more coming in, because word gets out within the pigeon community that there are people like Jim, so other pigeons flock to him. And you can tell those pigeons, because they're all kind of scruffy and dirty, you can tell the ones that have been with him for a while, because they are beautiful. They're like doves.
And do all of them have names?
The majority of them have names.
Okay.
There are some drifters that, again, just kind of come and go occasionally.
So he's kind of like a pigeon flop house.
Yeah, I would say exactly that.
Okay.
Well put, Mahoney. But yeah, I talked to Jim. Again, Dave, I kind of agree with you. I think he might be a little paranoid, but I think that just goes to show how much he really loves the pigeons and how much he doesn't want to lose them. But he's also got big plans for 2019, and I'm very excited about his artwork. So that is what we talked about.
Here's the latest tales from the bird nest.
Jim, he's almost got red eyes.
Hey, he's a beauty. There's a lot of good bird underneath all that. Right now, his working title is Grubby.
Jim, you got the mustache going. Is that something for 2019? We're going to keep
that? I took all the rest of the beard off.
Man, you're looking quite distinguished.
Oh, thank you very much. Listen, I got a horror story if you want it. Here's what's going on. Somebody here in this city has put a bounty on pigeons. And they are paying people $2 a head per dead bird. This truck pulls up into my yard. And these two guys get out and they drop the tailgate and they start spreading bird seed around all over the parking lot. When I went out there, I saw that there were cages in the back. What these guys are doing is they're feeding the birds and they're hoarding them around and they're catching them. Then they're taking them out somewhere where nobody will see them and they're turning them in, and I'm getting about $2 a head. I don't know who has put this bounty on them, but fortunately, if I'd have been another 60 seconds, they would have had some of my little buddies in the cages, and then it would have gotten ugly. You'd have to go check in down at the county jail.
What are your resolutions for 2019? What do you want to get done?
The first goal is I may have another commission for another amp. But if not, I got the comic book. You want to see the comic book? I'll tell you about that. Started it 2 years ago, and I got about 5 pages into it, and I hit the wall. Okay, so it sat right there in that desk drawer for 2 years. The other night, I was listening to a guy, and they were talking about all this asset forfeiture stuff. Says they're trying to get, making a lame excuse to confiscate people's cash because they're claiming that all the money has cocaine residue on it. And I sat bolt upright in bed. I said, there's my story. Here's what we ended up with. Bird brains, human behavior seen through the eyes of the birds in the parking lot. Here's my scenario. What if, now, you know, I told you my big black bird.
Thank God he said bird.
Big Mo. All right. What if he was to find, laying on the ground, a dollar bill? And what if the dollar bill looks at it and says, gee, that might make a fantastic floor for the nest? It's anti-cocaine is what it is. It's a strong anti-drug thing here.
Okay, just to explain to everybody, Jim has taken out a manila envelope, and he has pages of really well-drawn comics. It's a graphic novel. And
It really, truly is.
And he has photos of coked-out pigeons.
Well, these are grackles.
Jim, are you ever going to send this to press? Are you ever going to print
it? I'm going to try. The next story, I think I'm going to work in the guys with the truck.
KXTEFM HD1, Pahrump, Las Vegas. Live from the Dollar Loan Center, don'tbebroke.com studios. Your home for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show and Real Alternative, X107.5.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So today's Redneck Report deals with something we were talking about a little bit earlier with, you know, people being frustrated with travel right now. And I don't think this has anything to do with the government shutdown or TSA or any of that stuff. We don't really know exactly what led up to this. We just know that this woman was melting down at the airport, having shall we call it, a rough travel day. They figured out who this chick is. She is a 26-year-old by the name of Sabrina Thomas from San Marcos, California. She's scheduled to board a JetBlue flight on Sunday evening. Instead, she unleashed a verbal attack on an airline employee standing behind the desk, calling him and his colleagues rapists, and claiming that she was armed with a gun, which is really a great idea inside of an airport.
You should really do that when you're not getting your way and you're having your 26-year-old self is having a meltdown because your flight's delayed. Like, you know, the other 400 people on your flight, like, their flight's not delayed as well.
The 26-year-old Sabrina Thomas, who is white, also ranted about hating white people and white police officers. So that also made a whole bunch of sense.
Okay.
She was eventually escorted off the concourse and transported to the General Hospital as an involuntary Baker Act patient after displaying what officers termed as bizarre behavior and making irrational statements. Would you like to have a listen?
Let's do that, yeah. Dave.
Let's do it. Here we go.
Damn it! Who does that to a woman like me?
What?
Get me out of here! Get me out of here! I'm f***ing gun on me because I'm hopeless! Get me out!
She's a gun.
I have a gun on me because I'm homeless.
I like how that guy was like, what? And then he was like, did she say she had a gun?
She had a gun?
Oh, great.
But the way that she's dressed, like, you wouldn't think that she was out of her mind.
She wasn't. Well, I mean, looks normal.
She looks normal and, kind of a pretty girl, you know? Yeah. I mean, like,
exactly,
just sort
of. That's what I'm saying. Like, you wouldn't think.
You had just, you just snapped.
Yep. And she denied any alcohol or drug use, but for whatever reason, she just lost it.
Just
and
had a meltdown.
Probably a good idea for the cops to haul her off because I would not want that chick on the flight.
Involuntary 5150, for sure. Yeah. But I would also be like, yeah, it was all the drugs and all the booze.
Yeah, because everyone's like, oh, well, I've been there.
Yeah,
everyone understands that.
You're waiting for a flight that's been delayed. You have one too many margaritas at the cantina.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you get your bill. You're like, those were $36 a piece? You're all rapists. So a car thief on LSD thought he was playing Grand Theft Auto. And, you know, things didn't go so well for him. Two county deputies were awaiting a tow truck to haul away a lovely 2003 Toyota Camry after arresting a driver on an unrelated drunk driving case. That's when 23-year-old Anthony Clark got inside at about 8:25 p.m., drove off, evading one of the deputies' efforts to stop him while speeding. Clark crashed through a chain link fence off the roadway, ran over some spike strips twice, drove the wrong way down several roads. After several attempts, a patrol car managed to bump the rear of the Toyota and did the old pit maneuver to get him to spin out. He then tried hitting a patrol car and then ran from the Toyota. He fled into a mobile home park and was arrested by police as he was trying to steal another car. Clark then admitted to drug use and was hallucinating while being interviewed by authorities. Clark initially got into the Toyota after getting out of the passenger side of a pickup truck that was stopped nearby. A deputy wrote that Clark walked up to him, told him he was stealing the car, then got into the Toyota before the deputy was able to stop him and used the keys left in the door to start the car. So, you know, don't do drugs. Yeah. But again, this story makes a whole lot more sense than the one before it. You're like,
drugs.
I get it, but also if you Grand thought Theft you were Auto. Playing Grand Theft Auto as an avid Grand Theft Auto player, you don't steal the sedan, man. You go for the sports car or the motorbike. That's how you get away.
Right, because it's like sleek and sexy.
Yeah, you don't go for reliable that's gonna run for 200,000 miles.
I'm going to steal this car for the next 25 years.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I mean, very reliable.
Seems like a commitment, though.
It does seem like a bit of a commitment.
Good gas mileage, though. I mean, I could drive forever. Oh, yeah. I'm going to Oklahoma.
Leaving. One tank.
Round trip.
It's the movie quote quiz.
Hoo-ah!
With David Mahoney on X107.5.
Vince joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show to give the old movie quote quiz a try. What's up, Vince? How you doing, man?
How you doing, Dave?
Good. So here's how it works. As usual, we got five movie quotes. You're trying to get three or more correct. Are you a big movie buff?
I used to be. Not so much anymore, but yeah, back in the day I was.
I hear you. What's your favorite movie so we have a reference?
I like Christopher Nolan movies. Memento is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm.
So like psychological thrillers and, and stuff like that? Okay.
Exactly.
If you've never seen his first movie, The Following, you should check that out.
Oh, yeah, The Following. Yeah. I saw that one, too. That was the first one I saw, actually.
Good stuff.
All right, so without further ado, again, trying to get three or more correct out of these the five that we have, and that'll make you a winner today. Let's go ahead and fire off number one there, Tony.
Let's do it.
And I guess that was your accomplice in the wood chipper. There's more to life than a little money, you know. Don't you know that?
Ah, the accents.
Ah, don't you know? Yeah, that would be Fargo.
Fargo, correct, yes.
One for one.
On the board with one. Yeah, as soon as you say wood chipper and you hear that accent, it's pretty pretty undeniable what movie that is. Don't you know? All right, so on the board with one, very nicely done. Here we go to number two.
What did you like better, Jedi or The Empire Strikes Back?
Empire.
Blasphemy.
Empire had the better ending. I mean, Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
Any guesses, or do you want to hear it a second time?
Something with Silent J, or Jay and Silent Bob, it sounds like, but...
Take a guess.
Clerks?
Wow. My man.
Wow, very, very nicely done.
Nailed it. All right, two for
two.
Two for two.
Yeah, you can win it right here with one more correct.
Is it possible to two utes...
To what? What was that word?
What word?
To what?
What?
Did you say utes?
Yeah, two utes.
What is a ute?
Oh, excuse me, Your Honor. Two youths.
Yeah. I'm sure you can figure out who the actor is.
Joe
but
Pesci.
Joe Pesci, yeah.
I want to say my cousin Vinny. You're the best.
Yeah. Oh, three for three, Vince.
Oh, my gosh. You're the best.
Oh, last one in there for me, didn't you?
We did.
My cousin Vinny.
Yeah, I am very impressed, man. I mean, you say that you're not much of a movie buff anymore, but that you made it seem easy. Congratulations to you, man. You're going to enjoy some Fandango movie passes to check out
the
movie of your choice. So thank you for listening, my friend.
You guys are awesome. Thanks so much.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's Top Stories. Here's what's making news.
What the man about the Jimmy boy?
How about a fat burger? You ever heard of one of those before?
A fat burger? Yeah, I've been there.
No.
Good.
It's pretty good. They have a vegetarian option. I think it's the Impossible Burger that they do there. And
is it like a bean burger or no?
I don't know exactly what it is, but it still bleeds.
Is that one of those that you'll be enjoying here in 2019 since you've become an ovo-lacto-vegetarian again?
I'll have you know, Dave, I am down 7 pounds, sir.
7 pounds?
Just yesterday.
You told us six pounds. You lost a whole pound yesterday?
I lost another pound. There's a lot of buildup. There's probably a fat burg in my stomach that's backed up. So,
let me explain what a fat burg is. Wastewater workers in an English town announced that they had discovered a fat burg larger than the Leaning Tower of Pisa in the town's sewers. So, Southwest Water said
that's an odd thing to compare it to,
right? Yeah, but I mean,
like, let's just pick a random landmark. It's larger than the.
Than that Leaning Tower thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so Southwest Water said that sewer workers discovered this fatberg, which is a, hope you're hungry, a mass of hardened fat, oil, wet wipes, local drains, and toilets all contributed to this. But there's also lady stuff in there, as well as some diapers, they said. So,
who flushes a diaper?
You can't flush a diaper.
What
you can't even flush the wipes.
Huh?
You can't even flush the wipes.
The ones from Costco, you can.
You're not supposed to.
One at a time.
Either way.
One at a time, Sylvia.
One the service said the fatberg, which measures 210 feet long.
That's disgusting.
More than the height of the Leaning Tower. Oh. It's about the size of 6 double-decker buses, is the largest its workers have ever found in the county. Workers say it will take about 8 weeks to dissect the mass. Whose job is that?
Oh, my God.
And it is exceptionally challenging work conditions, but luckily... It is no risk to the bathing water, so everyone should be able to still be able to enjoy their drinking water and the water they use for taking baths.
I don't know. Fatberg and dissecting should not be in the same sentence.
It's like when you dissect an owl pellet in middle school, and you're like, oh, there's a rat in here and a bunch of paper and a bunch of other nasty stuff. Tell me this, Dave. When they pulled this 210-foot fatberg out of the sewers there? Did they have a bunch of tourists like pretending to try to hold it up, looking like clowns, taking really cliche pictures?
You know, I'm not sure, but if they didn't, the opportunity missed.
Totally
sure.
missed.
Yeah,
totally missed. So we actually saw this a couple of days ago. Now there was the security cam footage released of the guy licking the doorbell. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen that floating around, but yeah. I had no idea what really makes this interesting. They know who the guy is. The suspect, his name is Roberto Daniel Arroyo. He's 33 years old, faces misdemeanor charges for petty theft and prowling because this guy was licking their doorbell, and then he was also caught going number one on their front lawn, and he stole an extension cord. And so they've charged him with petty theft and prowling, and even though they know who he is, he's still at large. There was no physical damage to their home, but what's interesting is that he was licking that doorbell for 3 hours.
3 hours?
Like, I figured, like, after a minute, you...
How do you not get lockjaw?
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
I have a feeling this guy's going to be real popular, man.
Yeah, do you put that on your Tinder profile? I can lick your doorbell for 3 hours, girl. Ding dong.
Well.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
His name is Roberto Daniel Arroyo Sylvia.
Hey.
33. Swipe right.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, good morning, guys. So we've got a question for you. Is there any particular dish that you guys can make better than anybody else? If you guys were to have a potluck at the studio, what dish would you bring?
Message deleted.
That's a good question. I used to have my go-to, which was a pasta salad.
Oh.
And everyone thought that I was really good at making it. Really, it just had some really tasty mix that came in the box. It was just like a Betty Crocker pasta salad.
Oh, it wasn't even like a family recipe or anything?
No. It was just it was the Crocker family recipe.
What would you make, Sylvia?
I would make flan.
Your flan is pretty good.
Yeah.
I will. I
wouldn't
can
know because she didn't make any
you don't like sweets.
For the whole group.
You don't
she,
like sweets.
She just made it. Hey, Ian, did she make any flan for you?
Nope. Still waiting on the flan, Dave.
No, you wouldn't like it either.
Strange.
You guys don't like sweets.
I love flan. So.
I've always loved flan.
No, you didn't.
Dave and I are the biggest flan lovers on the show.
When I growing up as a young Mexican boy, I always loved flan. When my
in Minnesota,
little Nino
in Minnesota,
yeah.
little Nino,
little Nino.
Uh-huh. Ian, what would
or as my papa used to call me, El Nino.
Oh, oh, El Nino. Oh, okay.
Oh, the boy, the boy,
the boy.
Ian, what would you bring to a company potluck?
I would probably bring a sweet like Sylvia. I make I do Oreo balls. You guys ever had those?
Yeah, I've made those.
Ooh.
So good.
I could scarf down probably
crush
30
up a bunch
40.
Of Oreos. You throw some cream cheese in there, then you dip them in chocolate.
That's all it is.
Oh, dang.
That's it. Yeah. Mm. People
awesome.
Love them.
It sounds easy to make, too.
They are easy.
Yeah, it is, Sylvia, but still.
Mahoney, anything from the Ovo Lacto Vegetarian menu that you would like to bring?
You know damn well that I make the best guacamole this side of the Mississippi, sir.
How come I've never tried it?
Actually,
who makes it on the other side?
I mean, every time I have people over the house, you know, it's always
is there somebody on the other side of the Mississippi that makes it better? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, there might be. I don't know. I don't know everybody. I don't know everybody over there. But can we just talk about office?
Standing
potlucks?
Right on the other side of the Mississippi, you can't make guac worth damn. You suck, Mahoney. What are you doing, man? Go away, Carl.
This river's not big enough for both of us.
What about potlucks?
I'm saying. If you go, I will not go to a company potluck.
Why?
Because I don't know what your kitchen looks like. Like, traditionally, like, even, like, I know you, Sylvia, and I've known you for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
A couple years. And, yeah. You know, I trust you that you keep a, you know, you come into work and you're not smelly most of the time. And, okay. you know, you're well kept.
It's only when I'm stressed one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that I would have to assume your kitchen is probably pretty clean. But there are so many people, especially if it's at a larger company, when it comes to the potluck, that you don't know what the hell their kitchens look like. They have cats, could have cat hair everywhere, or who knows, you know, a bunch of dandruff that went into the apple pie.
A bunch of dandruff.
Like. Yeah, I don't know, man. There's a bunch of dead skin. That's what I'm saying. It's nasty. I won't eat at a company potluck. Don't ever invite me. You're just wasting your time.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Wow. When you were in school, were you a regular glue person or like a glue stick person? I always went with the stick because when I used the regular stuff, I got these weird glue bubbles underneath everything.
Message deleted.
I didn't discriminate. You
know, now that I think about it, there was a lot of glue usage in school, mm-hmm. like when you were a kid, right? Like you,
tons.
There was the rubber cement. There was the regular glue. There was wood glue. There was
the gel glue.
The glue sticks that he just mentioned. And as an adult, I almost never use glue. I feel like that we spent too much time focusing on glue usage.
You didn't use like that crazy glue?
Glusage.
No, glusage? Is that what they're calling it now? Yeah, I like the rubber glusage. Cement personally because you could roll up little boogers on your hand.
Yeah, little boogers and flick them.
That was
great.
The gel glue where you can just like spread it all over your hand and then you peel it off.
No, that's what we. You're too young.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the 90s.
We didn't have that fancy glue in our days. We had three times.
No, they have glow in the dark glue now.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Excessive. I think make like the slime.
Oh, the slime craze.
Yeah.
Still.
Are kids still doing that?
Yeah, they are.
Still a thing?
Yeah. What was the biggest, the hottest toy just this last holiday? Wasn't the unicorn that that pooped the slime? Did you guys hear about that?
Oh, yeah. No.
It's a children's toy. Yeah.
It poops slime.
It's a unicorn that poops slime.
Yeah, but purple, and that was the hottest, sparkly slime. Yeah.
Sparkly. Yeah.
And that was the hottest toy in America?
Yeah.
No, it's
love poop, man.
Name a hotter toy than that. You can't.
Flamethrower?
It's impossible. A flamethrower. Yeah, that's true.
Way hotter.
Sold out fast. Yeah, way hotter.
After the tone.
I want to know what kind of drunks you guys are. Like, are you guys like the nice drunks or the sad drunks or like the angry drunks or like creative drunks? I'm the creative type. Like, I get two whiskeys in me and the next thing you know, I'm painting a mural on the side of my house.
Message deleted.
Man, I wish I were the creative drunk.
There's no such thing as a creative drunk.
No.
I mean, like, come up with ideas, but they're all dumb ideas.
It's the same people. It's like, I smoke weed and I just get so creative, man. It's like, I can't be creative unless I'm smoking.
What kind of drunk are you, Mahoney?
It depends on how I'm feeling that day.
Well, you say like alcohol affects your drunkenness, right?
Well,
as far as like your moods?
Alcohol
does affect his drunkenness.
Yes. No, I mean, if I'm having a good day or whatever.
Like, what kind of drunk?
Most of the time, I'm a pretty happy, loving drunk. Occasionally, if I'm if something sets me off, I will get angry. But mostly,
you're either a happy drunk or you're an emotional drunk.
Yeah.
I'm a happy drunk. Like, I giggle a lot.
You're a weird drunk.
A weird drunk. How am I a weird drunk?
Every time I've seen you when you're like drunk, you're just like you're giggling and like being all like socially awkward and stuff.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm not so awkward.
Are you drunk right now?
that's sober, Sylvia.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
This one margarita's got me.
What do you mean I'm socially awkward?
Whatever. Shut up.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So any opportunity to bring it back to the Moose Soup Lady, I love to do because I miss her so much. It's been, man, when did we talk to her? That must have been
about a year ago.
Oh, my God!
Aww. Over a year ago now, right? Yeah. I mean, it was probably 2017 we talked to her.
We didn't even know that Moose Soup existed or that it was a thing before meeting her.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with what it was, she was this lady that was randomly filming a boat race, because I guess they do boat races in Alaska, and she saw a guy fall off the boat, and that was her reaction was,
oh my God!
But after he climbs back into the boat, she starts having a conversation with the guy. She's like, come over to my place for some moose soup later. It was pretty great audio, but moose soup is a real thing, and she is proficient at making it. But the story today that we have is that a moose just wandered into a hospital in Alaska, their largest city, as it turns out. Earlier this week, the footage shows the moose just browsing around, walks over to some greenery near the entrance, and starts eating away at the greenery inside of the hospital. It sort of briefly lingers. And then just saunters right back out the open door. So it's one
of
those.
Get the hell out of here. This is a horse loose in a hospital. It's confusing because every day we just have to follow the horse. And some days it's like the horse used the elevator. You know those days where you're like, is the horse smart? And then we're all just like, why hasn't the horse catcher caught the horse? And then the horse is like, I have fired the horse catcher. And you're like, that shouldn't be a thing.
But it happens in Alaska all the time. You're not going to tell a moose what he can and cannot do, Dave.
They're ginormous animals.
And they're dangerous if you make them mad. So what happened was because of the extreme cold, as you would imagine in Anchorage right now, the extreme cold caused the doors to get stuck open, and there is some plant greenery in the warm lobby, and it's pretty inviting, I imagine. If you're a moose in freezing cold Anchorage, Alaska, you're like, well, there's some delicious food, and it's warm in there. Just sauntered in, had a couple of bites, and then sauntered on out.
Can you imagine waking up from a surgery, and you know, you're still under the influence of the anesthesia that they give you, and then you see a moose next to you in a hospital,
just chowing down
on some plants.
You totally just wig out.
A moose eating a ficus.
You're like, these drugs are awesome.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present the Missed Connection Inspection.
Oh, boy. There are some good ones today in the Missed Connection Inspection. If you're not familiar with this, we go on Craigslist, and the missed connections have been moved to the community section, and they try to keep them clean, so a lot of these postings sometimes will get taken down, but some of these are perfectly fine to be up there. I mean, this first one is entitled Metallica Hopeless Romantic, and it is about being at a Metallica show, and I feel like perhaps the person that did the posting is misconstruing things, but you guys tell me what you think. Okay,
okay. Let's hear it.
It starts off with, oh, star-crossed lovers we are. Me, the friendless loner pretending to fit in with my torn Levi's and black band t-shirt. You, the well-socialized and sexy mom surrounded by friends and loved ones. I sipped water to show you I was responsible. Hydration is important, and beer at a rock concert is so passe. Did you notice me? Of course you did. How could anyone miss my subtle swaying and head nodding right on beat? We caught glances as I turned to survey the crowd. You stared right at me. It couldn't have been the band and light show and that I was obstructing your view. How many times have you searched Missed Connection, hoping that I would post? It was meant to be. We shared the same place and time, and there was 15,000 people there, but really it was just you and me. They played Unforgiven. We both sang along. Now we have our song. It's moments like this that make me feel so small, like fireflies blinking into the dark and hope that someone flashes back.
This is not real.
Flash for me now, my firefly. Dot, dot, dot.
No.
This was not posted on Craigslist.
Where would this be posted?
Now they have a song.
I feel like this is some weird fan fiction. Like, nobody, this is not a real person, is it?
It does sound like a real fan fiction.
It's a real person, a real post.
Guys are so thirsty. Guys are so creepy and thirsty.
Of course you notice
this
me.
This chick is like trying to look around him so she can see the concert. Meanwhile, he's sipping water to show her that he is responsible. Like, screw off, buddy. Yeah. Like, move your big, dumb head.
Beer at a rock concert is not passe. It is a necessity.
Sylvia was at that show.
Yeah.
Do you think he's possibly talking about our own lovely Sylvia?
No.
Well, because I'm not a mom.
Well-socialized, sexy mom?
Well-socialized, sexy,
yeah. You don't know that you don't have kids.
Do I look like I'm a mom?
Surrounded by friends.
You could be a mom.
No.
Sylvia is not well socialized. She's a mouth breather.
She's barely potty trained.
She was there with friends.
Move, please.
I'm just saying, I feel like Sylvia should respond. I just want to see a more response from this verbose clown.
Sylvia, I will get you the link to this post,
okay,
and then we could maybe get a correspondence going.
Okay,
let's move on.
Takes us to Albany. It says, Sydney from Albany. I am the young tattooed guy that used to meet the beautiful trans girl named Sydney at her apartment every time I visited Albany. I lost her number, and I would love to get back in touch. You have a bunch of Vera Bradley bags in your living room. All right.
That's what you took away from your encounter with Sydney? And also, is he a tattoo? Do you think he's an actual tattoo guy, or is he just a guy with tattoos?
Guy with tattoos.
Okay.
That's probably got like four.
This headline here is nothing short of provocative, although I don't think it's meant to be. We met while I was slicing your lunch meat.
Oh, that's
getting
sexy.
Sexy at the deli.
All right.
You told me your name and that you had just moved to town. We talked about our plans a little, and I wished I had invited you to my friend's party. I hope you had a good night stargazing. You probably won't see this, but I hope you come into the store and I get to talk to you again. You're really cute and seem really sweet. So you were cutting some forest black ham for this chick, and she told you she was going to go look at the stars
tonight? You think this is a chick? I think this is a dude.
No, this is a dude talking about a chick. Right? Or do you think it's a girl talking about a guy?
I think it's a dude talking about a dude.
Really?
Yeah. Ian?
Well,
I might have to go with Mahoney on this one. I agree.
Well, okay. So instead of playing the guessing game, this one's definitely dude for dude, right? It's just okay. Entitled Mr. Big.
Yeah.
You were the big trucker at the Shell station.
Hell yeah.
You kind of scared me with that, but I would like to try and get back together. You said you were the boss, and I believe you. Let's try to meet.
Yeah. You want to go check out this extended king cab that I got?
Oh, my.
We can make some sweet music.
I'm a little scared.
There is two more for you here.
Do you listen to Bruce Springsteen while you're doing it with that trucker?
You have to.
You have to.
Yeah.
If his nickname's the boss, put on some Springsteen!
This one is entitled Looking for a Girl to Watch Schindler's List with Tonight.
Oh, no.
What a romantic movie.
No.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. No.
Give it a chance.
No.
All right. So yeah, it's not as weird as you would think, but it's pretty weird.
Is this a Seinfeld reference?
It says, weird post, but looking for a lady, 20s to 30s, to see Schindler's List with me tonight at 7:30. I have two free tickets, but my brother bailed on me, and I don't have any single friends who can replace him. I'm 25, an educator, a musician, clean and straight-laced dude. I can send pictures. I don't want these free tickets to go to waste. Hey, if you're a pretty girl who wants to accompany me to a classic piece of cinema, why not?
Yeah, bad first choice of movie, though. Like, that's like a third or fourth date movie.
That's a you need to be in a relationship movie.
Take her to Bumblebee. You know what I mean? Not Schindler's List. Don't do that.
And finally,
actually has really good ratings, by the way. It's 97% fresh, which I'm shocked because John Cena is in it. And he's like
that's
one of the main characters. How is that possible?
The fact that they actually put that in the trailer, it's like the best rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes, because every other thing that they've done with Transformers has been a total turd. So they have to remind you that while everything else sucked, this one doesn't.
It's okay.
I like their style. And finally, in the Misconnection inspection today, this one's just entitled Rebecca? And then By the Park in parentheses. Rebecca, was that you walking near the park today? I was driving, but I was too far to tell if it was you. You had very colorful pants on.
Oh,
you
creep.
Jesus, this Rebecca chick obviously has not given you her contact information. And you think that you're spotting her walking by a park, but you're... It reminds me of the scene from Dumb and Dumber where Jim Carrey is driving the limousine and he's like tracking her. She's walking through the airport and then rear ends the car and the airbag goes off. Like, I mean, everything about this is just so creepy.
I mean, also what kind of mindset do you need to be in to think that even if that was Rebecca, why would she respond to you, random dude on Craigslist?
Like, she would probably walk the other way.
That's creepy as hell.
Sprint the other way.
In her Zumba pants, probably.
Yes.
In her colorful
leggings. X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Why hating on Zumbas, man? I bought Dave some of those for his birthday a couple years back.
Did you really?
Yeah, I went to Minnesota and they had them.
It's like
it was
like 2015. What do you? They're still in.
They look good on me.
Oh, they
judge.
Do.
They
were Why don't you wear them?
They were on clearance.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea. It's Pop Trash.
So this is a landmark divorce. Celebrities get divorced all of the time. Business people get divorced all of the time. The richest man in the world getting a divorce, that's news. And Jeff Bezos is getting a divorce after being married for 25 years to his wife. $137 billion on the line. Ooh. Bezos said on Twitter that he and his wife are going to call it quits after a 25-year marriage after taking what he called a trial separation. Bezos, who is now 54, made it clear the divorce is amicable, saying, quote, "We feel incredibly lucky to have found each other and deeply grateful for every one of these years we have been married to each other." And he also noted that if we had known that we would separate after 25 years, we would do it all over again. And I like that. Like, I mean, you know, they're not, you know, being hateful towards each other and obviously approaching this in the best way possible. But this is before the money gets involved, right? Mm-hmm. So $137 billion. They actually met in New York when he was a VP of a hedge fund, according to TMZ. He actually interviewed her for a job. They got married all the way back in 1993, 6 months after they met. And they quit their Wall Street jobs, then moved to Seattle, where he opened an online bookstore, which, of course, is where Amazon came from. And just like Steve Jobs, Bezos started Amazon in his garage. So they're both very well educated. They graduated from Princeton. He's 6 years older than her. She is a novelist in her own right and won an American Book Award in 2006. She also is the executive director of an anti-bullying organization called Bystander Revolution. So the big question is, how much money is she going to walk with? And, you know, if there's not a prenup, then she would likely get half of it. They live in Washington, which is a community property state, which means any assets accrued during the marriage are split 50-50 unless there is a prenup that says otherwise. Bezos became a millionaire back in 1997. So, you know, that's 4 years. He became a millionaire for the first time 4 years after they got married.
I mean, if he was a hedge fund manager in New York, my guess is probably a prenup of some sort exists. But is it to the extent that's going to protect $140 billion, you know, just treasury that he has at this point? The most expensive divorces up until this point, the most expensive one ever happened in 1999. It was Alec Weinstein, and he divorced from his wife, Jocelyn Weinstein, and he had to give her $3.8 billion at the time, which is worth about $5.7 right now. And the biggest name on there
pennies.
I mean, you had Rupert Murdoch, who also got divorced in 1999 from his wife, estimated a $1.7 billion split.
Again,
right there.
Pennies compared to what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Jeff and Mackenzie also own 400,000 acres of property, making them two of the biggest landholders in the entire country.
He is the richest person in the world right now by about $40 billion. The next closest would be Bill Gates is right behind him, $40 billion, less than what he has right now. But if he does...
Bill Gates is now the richest man in the world again, right?
I mean, if he loses $70 billion, yeah. But then his wife, yeah. You know, Mackenzie Bezos, becomes easily one of the top five richest people. How crazy is that? That you can get divorced and you instantly become one of the top five richest people in the world.
Well, if you're married to Jeff Bezos, then... Yeah.
I should have married Jeff Bezos. Damn it!
Me too.
Where was I in 97? I was a supple young 16-year-old.
Supple.
Supple.
Stop saying it like that, you creep.
Why?
Speaking of a big money, Emily Blunt and John Krasinski from The Office, they're a thing, if you didn't know. They just bought an entire floor of a New York City luxury apartment building all to themselves. They dropped $11 million on this place.
That's not too bad for New York, though. For an entire floor?
John Krasinski, I mean, I guess he's making a lot of money off the
Quiet Place. Made a ton of money, man.
Yeah, he has another project.
And she's Mary Poppins. I mean, both of them are A-list stars at this point, and I like them. I think they're one of my new favorite Hollywood couples out there.
Do you think that they fill the void of Chris Pratt and Anna Faris?
I don't. They were never like a super. To me, they weren't like they were together, but that wasn't a couple that I was like rooting for. You know, I like Chris Pratt, I like Anna Faris, but Anna Faris isn't A-list. Chris Pratt became A-list, but John Krasinski, you know, the run on The Office plus everything he's done post The Office has really catapulted him, and Emily Blunt is one of the hottest actresses in Hollywood today. So at $11 million, if you're like me and watch Million Dollar Listing New York, you know that a lot of those, I mean, you're looking at like $20 million minimum if you want to be in Manhattan on a good street, Dave.
I didn't know that they had two kids together.
Yeah.
They have two kids?
Yeah. Huh. I like that they stay out of the tabloids, too, for the most part. The most of the time, when you see them in the tabloids, it's only for good things.
So Kevin Hart was caught up with by TMZ, and they asked him about the possibility of him actually re-engaging and possibly hosting the Oscars again. If you haven't been following along, Kevin Hart got caught up in some controversy because of some old stuff that he had said years ago that came across as being homophobic. And I understand certainly why people were upset by it, but he was very direct in his apology to the LGBTQ community. And as a result, and him sitting down with Ellen for several hours, and the entire show was just him and her talking about it, obviously, Ellen being gay herself, she supports Kevin Hart, and I think that that actually helps a lot, considering that she's a former host of the Academy Awards herself. This is what Kevin Hart had to say when TMZ put a camera in his face.
The chances are very slim.
Yeah.
But do you feel like the urge, like, do we put it out in the future? Do you think we'd maybe put it down?
I love the Academy. I love everybody that's involved with the process of building the Oscars and making it. This year was just a tricky year, so maybe in the future it'll work out.
Has the Academy reached out to you personally at all?
No comment.
Would you if you did it? Would you do it?
No comment.
So there's actually an update to the story. He appeared on Good Morning America, and he said that he's not going to host the Oscars.
Okay, so it was a slim chance as of yesterday, and then today, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Why are you watching Good Morning America during the show, Sylvia? What are you doing? You should be focusing.
No, I'm focusing.
What the hell?
Like, this is new
that
update.
Actually added to the show for once. Yeah,
no,
that's nice.
I mean, I'm just saying, it just seems like kind of rude when you're not paying attention to me and you're watching Good Morning America. I know you like, I know they're funny and I know they're entertaining, but we're right here, Sylvia. Get off your phone.
Text the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on the Centennial Toyota text line at 73100. Lazy Bones Mahomes.
Do I have to? Justin is joining us here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up, Justin? How you doing, man?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. So, have you heard Lazy Bones Mahomes before? It's a little game that we like to play.
Justin, have you heard?
Justin.
Can you hear Dave?
Yes. Hello.
We're talking to you, man. Yeah, question. What are you doing? What are you doing over there, Justin?
I have heard it before.
You have heard it before. All right, good.
Like, seriously, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm standing in a conference room at work.
Sorry about that.
Sorry for yelling.
Sorry about that. We get a little angry when people don't pay attention to us. Right.
So
we're needy, Justin.
We have three facts about Mahoney's epic laziness. These all come directly from Mahoney's fiance, and this one is entitled "Lazy Bones Mahomes, an Old Fashioned Man." All right, so I'll just go through each one of these, and you're trying to figure out which one is not true, but two out of these three absolutely true. Okay. First one, fact number one, is Mahoney has become quite the connoisseur of whiskeys. He has become an old-fashioned expert, he likes to think, and has purchased all of the different items that we need to make them at home. We had several guests over during the winter holiday, of whom Mahoney made old fashions for, and he left several bottles of the whiskey on the counter instead of putting them away where they go, which is in our liquor cabinet. When I asked him to put the bottles away, he said, "This is my old-fashioned whiskey display, baby."
Yeah, if we're going to have people over at the house, they need to see the wide variety of whiskeys that I have accrued. You know, we used to do Whiskey Wednesdays here on the show, and I have accrued quite a bit of whiskey in that amount of time. Plus, our contract's up in like a day, and I'm taking all my whiskey from the office back to the house just in case they fire us. So that's why it's sitting on the cabinet. Also, the bottle's mostly too tall to sit in the cabinets. I don't want them, like, bending over, you know, getting the cork all wet. You don't like that, right?
Totally.
It's garbage.
Yeah, we get it.
Makes total sense.
Exactly.
So that is fact number one. Here we go on to fact number two. Part of making an old-fashioned involves a smoke gun. When Mahoney was putting on a old-fashioned show, making the old-fashions for our guests, he used his newly purchased smoke gun for the drink. But instead of doing the work that it takes to turn it off, which is literally just flipping a switch, he proceeded to let it to continue to pump copious amounts of hickory smoke into our kitchen. So much so that it was beginning to be hard to see the people through the smoke. I grabbed the smoke gun and took it outside, which unfortunately resulted in part of the carpet catching on fire, which I still blame him for.
So I was putting on a show for her coworkers. I was being a gentleman and making them old fashions. And yes, this was my first time using said smoke gun. And I thought I had turned it off, but instead of turning it off, I turned it all the way up. And yes, there was a decent amount of smoke that came out of there. I don't I don't know why she freaked out, because it was a lovely, you know, like a wood smell. It smelled like a beautiful campfire in the house. Everybody from her work seemed to enjoy the smell of that smoke. But she freaked out, grabbed the smoke gun, and was like walking outside and didn't realize that, you know, hey, I've been lighting this little carb basically on fire, kind of like a, you know, like a bowl for weed, and it's hot. She touched it and dropped it on the floor onto the carpet. So blaming me for the carpet getting burned, I feel like, is a little bit unfair.
And last but not least, fact number three: a proper old fashioned involves cherries that sit in syrup to give it a sweet effect. Mahoney purchased some super fancy expensive cherries to use in his old fashioned production. He has made so many of them, though, that he has already gone through an entire jar of expensive cherries. This jar cost $26. But don't worry, the empty jar is still sitting in our fridge.
So, the Luxardo maraschino cherries, the original maraschino cherries, some of the best cherries in the world, in my personal opinion, yes, are very, very pricey, especially if you order them online. Hard to get here in town. So, my thought behind this is, you know, I am not exactly made of money. So I swapped out one jar of Trader Joe's maraschino cherries with the Luxardo original maraschino cherries at the cost of $1.99. And that's why I kept that empty jar of maraschino cherries in the refrigerator.
All right, Justin, it is over to you. So we have fact number one, which is Mahoney keeping all of the liquor bottles out. We have fact number two, which is the smoke gun catching a piece of the carpet on fire. Or fact number three about the empty cherries still in the refrigerator. Make your guess, my friend. What do you think?
I'm going to go with the cherries. Though it does sound pretty lazy, you know, he might do that. I think that one's pretty far-fetched. The smoke gun, you know, that sounds pretty cool. And I would agree with the old-fashioned whiskey display.
Okay, so final answer?
Final answer.
You did it. You did it.
Everybody knows I am reckless with money. I would never swap those out with Trader Joe cherries.
Awesome, guys.
Congratulations to you, man.
HD1, Corrupt Las Vegas. Live from the Dollar Loan Center, DontBeBroke.com studios. Your home for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show and Real Alternative, X107.5.
It's Top Stories! Here's what's making news.
Look, sometimes you're at work and you get frustrated with the way that other people are handling things. I would say that's actually a fairly normal occurrence, right? Well, a Florida substitute teacher is accused of being upset with the principal at the school. She's displeased with how the principal was handling professional issues. And so she had found out that there was going to be a party that was being thrown for this principal at a park. And so this Florida substitute teacher decided to take it upon herself to ruin the party. That was her way of getting back. And the way that she tried to ruin the party was by spreading human feces on all of the tables and grills at the park where the principal was set to host the birthday party.
So,
damage to the park totaled more than $2,300, including grills and tables that had to be replaced. The 42-year-old that did it was charged with damaging property and criminal mischief. She is pleading not guilty to the charge.
So if you feel like your boss is not being professional, the best way to prove that you're the bigger person and more professional is to smear your own poop all over everything in a public place.
In her mind, yeah.
Yeah, it was a unique way of telling everyone that she had a really crappy boss.
I wonder, though, like, that couldn't just be one movement, right? That had to be...
If she's able to spread it.
If it's over 70, if it caused, what, $2,000+ in damages and you covered picnic tables and grills, like what are you eating? Just straight up Fiber One? Are you freebasing Fiber One, lady? What's happening?
It's impressive. It is impressive. I mean, I don't know where she kept it, but I mean, it was a lot of.
Do you keep that refrigerated? Do you freeze it? Like,
you don't freeze it, because then you're going to spread it.
No, you don't freeze it,
because
then you can't smear it, unless you warm it up.
But like, in your own house, in your own house, though, where do you keep it? In a bucket outside,
so it wouldn't stink up the house.
These are the questions that we must know the answer to. I don't know if we ever will, though. So an online dater, I get that online dating is hard, and this is a really weird flex, but this got a girl in a whole lot of trouble. An Oklahoma game warden said in a Facebook post that the Department of Wildlife Conservation has charged a girl because there was this chick who was talking to this guy on Bumble, and she bragged about having just shot a large buck. Again, weird flex, but okay. Screenshots of the conversation show the woman playfully avoiding his question about whether she had used a crossbow, as the state's rifle hunting season had just ended. The woman did admit to spotlighting, a practice of using a bright light to confuse a deer, and shared a photo of herself posing with the dead animal. The guy used the woman's first name in the photo she shared to find her on social media, and then game warden showed up at her house the next day. The woman ended up pleading guilty to hunting deer out of season and possessing game that was taken illegally. The woman and the man who accompanied her on the hunting trip ended up being fined $2,400.
Good.
Harrison said the woman will not face jail time because she agreed to pay her shares of the fee.
So my guess is she ain't hot, right? Because you're not diming out a chick you are trying to hook up with to the game wardens.
Maybe. I mean, Mahoney, let's be real. How many hot chicks do you know that are bragging when they're trying to pick up a dude on Bumble that they're spotlighting and shooting bucks?
More like no game wardens, if you know what I'm saying.
Let out!
Sorry. I should be embarrassed for that.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Yeah, it could have been worse. Could have been worse.
I thought it was funny. All right.
Yeah, it was okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Middle of the week.
That was a good Wednesday joke.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. All right.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
It's my birthday today. Just want to wish you guys a good day, Mahoney, Sylvia, Ian. Y'all have a great day.
Message deleted.
It's his birthday?
That's really selfless.
Why are you wishing us a great day?
Because
you should
he's selfless, man.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you, sir.
Yeah. I hope you have a good day. And that's it.
Do you tell people that your birthday's coming up, Sylvia?
Yeah.
Are you...
When's your birthday, Sylvia?
February 12th.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do for the big 3-0?
I don't know.
Ew, you're so old.
Man, I'm not old. You're almost 40.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, good morning, guys. I know you guys always fight over whether pineapple belongs on pizza or not, but what is one topping you see on a hamburger that you think really doesn't belong on a hamburger?
Message deleted.
Lettuce. Lettuce doesn't belong on a hamburger.
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't.
Really good on a burger. Does. You need that crunch factor.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
You know what you can get?
A nice crisp piece
onions.
Of lettuce.
Yes.
Onions. Are Funyuns. So much better than lettuce.
You know what doesn't belong on a hamburger? Funyuns.
I didn't say Funyuns. I said onions.
Oh.
Well, Funyuns doesn't belong either.
Yes, I can agree with you.
You
we can
you
agree.
Want to talk about like the little crinkly onions that sometimes they put on burgers?
I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about a slice things. Of onion.
That's fine, too.
Onions like belong on a burger.
Onions do belong. They give you that crisp crunch.
Yeah, but like the lettuce taint it gives
with
an added crunch.
Lettuce.
You just hate lettuce, man. Yeah. Stop your campaign against lettuce.
Well, I'm not. You don't ever hear about onions like being spreading salmonella. It's always like poop lettuce.
I would agree. Poop lettuce does not belong.
That's right.
On burgers.
That's right.
No poop. Lettuce.
Anything else you want to add?
I like almost everything on a burger. I mean, I prefer like a Dijon mustard and then like a pickle, like a nice pickle slice and
pickle
some.
Slice is good.
Yeah, like
you
some
like
crisp
pickles?
Lettuce
yeah,
and a tomato kind of
burger,
and oh yeah.
What kind of burger joint is serving up something like this? This kind of concoction,
like
Dave.
A fancy
like literally,
joint.
Like any burger joint ever.
I grew up thinking that a traditional burger was just lettuce, tomato, onions, you know, and sometimes cheese on there. I didn't know we had a Dijon mustard. On a brioche bun with, you know, I'm sorry.
First off, it didn't say anything about the bun. Don't act like Dijon mustard is fancy. I mean, you can literally get it almost anywhere. It just has a little bit. I like it to have a little bit of a kick. You
really?
Know?
You're going to try to tell Ian that Dijon mustard is not fancy? They have spent years, decades, and millions of dollars letting us know just how fancy Dijon mustard is, Dave. Have you never seen a Grape Bond commercial?
Whatever happened to those, by the way?
It's still there.
Do they even
it's still around, yeah.
Do they make Grape Poupon?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they do.
Has anybody even, have you ever tried, has anybody here tried Grape Poupon?
I've tried Grape Poupon.
Really?
Have yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love Grey Poupon. Interesting that we're talking about Grey Poupon on the show today, while earlier we talked about the girl who actually pooped on everything at the public park.
I mean, the name probably could have benefited.
There was a joke somewhere in that.
I know. Oh.
It was.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Morning, guys. Hey, man, if you guys find out from Jim the Birdman who's got that bounty, man, I'd really like to know. All these years I've been killing pigeons for free. I'd love to get some money for it.
Oh, message deleted.
You double-crossed us. We thought that you were going to stand up for the pigeons and their rights to live, and you just,
There's no bounty. There's not a $2 a pigeon head bounty here in the city. It just does not. Where?
No, we love Jim the Birdman. I think that sometimes he has his facts a little crossed.
Yeah. 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 Little off there.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Good work, Mahoney.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Well.
What are you talking about?
Please leave a message after the tone.
I was working on a job one time where they cleaned the porta potties every morning. And they just refilled them with water. And I thought that the best time to use it would be the first, because it's clean and ready to go. But there's nothing there to break the fall. And I haven't been the same since I experienced a porta potty splashback. Traumatized.
Message deleted.
Oh, no. That is not the kiss that you want to feel on your ass early in the morning.
No, no, no. Wait, is there a different kind of kiss you want to feel?
No,
oh, my. What is going on here? What is happening?
Oh, my.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Isn't that kind of what it feels like when that happens? It's like a mwah.
Good morning, Mahoney.
It's just so gross.
Have a great day.
Only thing worse is an airport toilet.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
Men who do not brush their teeth twice a day are almost three times as likely to suffer from erectile dysfunction, according to a new study.
How do they put these two together?
Well, they say that gum disease caused by not brushing is thought to boost the odds of damaging the blood vessels, which supply the junk with the stuff that you need to be. A review of studies involving more than 200,000 men has strengthened a direct link between the two conditions. The research adds to growing evidence poor oral hygiene can impact a man's performance in the bedroom and potentially have other health consequences as well.
I would
Experts think that found that gum disease triggered by bad oral hygiene are 2.85 times more likely to struggle to get the ba-boing.
I would think that guys who don't brush their teeth on a regular basis wouldn't have an ED problem. I thought they would probably have a problem trying to get laid because you got some stanky-ass breath.
Like yellow teeth.
Almost three-quarters of men, 74%, who already had trouble in the bedroom also had gum disease. However, only 58% of the men without trouble had the oral health problem. So, there is
a direct correlation.
There. Yeah.
You know what doesn't make any sense to me? Traditionally, most of us, when we wake up, we brush our teeth, and when we go to bed, we brush our teeth. But, like, what happens between going to bed and waking up that there's, we brush our teeth again? Like, shouldn't it be like we brush our teeth around noon? Like, we space it out.
Isn't it like every time, like, after you eat?
That theoretically is what your dentist would like. And my dentist would also like me to floss every day, which I floss twice a year.
Would you? I thought in 2018 we decided that flossing wasn't necessary anymore.
Is that what we agreed on?
Wasn't that the study that came out that was like flossing's a waste of time or something like that?
I mean, we've read something along those lines, but I mean, I don't know. I haven't had a cavity in, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. It's been a long time.
Well, but it's not just cavities, right? I mean, they're talking about gum disease, and flossing is supposed to help with gum disease.
The only time my gums bleed is when you are flossing or scraping it with that little Captain Hook thing.
It's like when you sit down in the dentist chair and they're like, when's the last time that you flossed? You're like, bro, you were there. How do you not remember?
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Seriously.
Come on.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
All right, here is today's question for Know the Show. If you think you know the answer, 702-791-1075.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
I'll have you know, Dave, I am down pounds, sir.
You told us six pounds.
There's a lot of buildup. There's probably a fat bird in my stomach.
Mahoney was braggadociously talking about how many pounds he has lost since the beginning of the year, right?
Being braggadocious ever about it.
Oh, here it goes.
It's just
the more he loses weight.
It's the processed meat that is, you know, I'm like,
Mahoney starts talking. He starts giving out like fitness tips. Easy for me. It should be easy for you too.
At least my microphone works. Bitch.
How dare you? So Flogging Molly is coming to Las Vegas. They are going to be over at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan on March 15th for St. Patrick's Day. Tickets available through CosmopolitanLasVegas.com, but you can have yours for free if you are the first person in with the correct answer. X107.5, good morning. What is your name?
Hey, what's your name? Oop, got to turn that on. What's your name?
Tim.
Tim, what is the answer?
Seven.
Seven pounds.
Yeah, but to be fair, I was like 6 pounds heavier than I've ever been. So it's like I'm now down to the heaviest I've ever been previous to this point in my time. So it's
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a good year. I hit like I think I weighed myself on January 1st and I was 267 pounds. And now
267.
I'm 259 now. So actually, that's 8 pounds. But I did say 7. So just
That means that you lose, Tim. Sorry. The correct answer is 8. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.